Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I gotcha. Look at that, right with the gum. That was so perfect. That was perfect. What do you do? What's your name?
I'm Sophie. Hi.
What kind of gum is that, by the way?
We've got the old Orbitz peppermint flavor.
Orbitz peppermint. We'll just talk about gum for the next 20.
Hi, I'm Tucker.
We've got NYC. We've got an Apple Watch commercial. We've got South by Southwest, where I saw you. We've got a bagillion listens on all the right digital outlets.
I've got something. It's totally random. Don't really know where it came from, but when I was living in Canada, I lived on the ocean, and I used to bring out my guitar, and I was pretty sad, actually, when I lived in Canada, because I moved there when I was 14, and I didn't want to move there, and my parents wouldn't let me run away from home.
Because most parents say, you know what? Run away from home.
Right. Well, I said that, and they were like, no. And I was like, oh, damn it. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time, like, really sad with my guitar by the ocean, and I discovered that the seals really responded to my guitar playing, and I could actually summon them to lift out of the water and show their heads. And so for a period of time, they called me the Seal Whisperer.
Let's talk about college, because this is kind of, it's not glossed over in a certain way, because basketball was your thing, and you're obviously tall enough, so that given, I could see how that's possible. But talk about what I want you to talk about, because it doesn't really go there. The pivotal moment where you realized that basketball wasn't going to be the career, that you didn't really have a choice. Tell me about that.
The pivotal moment when I realized wasn't until after I had left school for a year. I was sick in bed with Epstein-Barr virus for about 7 months. My body couldn't get rid of it like most people's bodies just naturally make a dormant. Mine couldn't do that. So it finally, with the help of like medication and stuff, it went dormant. And I went back to school the next year, continued to play basketball after I went back to school. And then it wasn't until there were parts of that year when I just knew my body couldn't handle it anymore. And I was playing sick basically the whole time, and I was pushing too hard. There was one night I remember in Providence when it was after a long practice, I got home and my knees and ankles and back were hurting so much after ice baths and everything that I did every day. They were hurting so much. I had to crawl from my couch to my bed and was like screaming. I was literally like screaming, but I lived alone. And it was like the worst pain that I'd ever felt. And it was so crazy. I'd really never felt that before. And I knew then, I think, deep down, that I just, like, couldn't keep doing this for too long. And then it was the summer after that season when I was working out with a bunch of pro guys, actually, players from the Celtics and stuff. And there was three different times that summer, like 2 weeks apart, where I would get that sore again and I'd have to sit in an ice bath. And I couldn't barely walk. And then I finally, after the third time, going back to my doctor in Boston, he said, you can't keep doing this to yourself. Your body just can't handle it. We don't even really know why, it just can't. And that was when I like finally, it was done.
But you know, it's just really amazing, because here we are sitting here talking about music, right? And now you're at that pivotal moment here, you know, in many ways. So it's really fascinating what knocks you into the next thing. And looking back on it, it wasn't a blessing or a curse. It's just, it was life.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I literally started making music, teaching myself how to use programs on a computer to make music in that 7 months or 8 months when I was in bed, when I had no time to do anything else, or no energy to do anything else. And I finally had time to pursue this, which I always wanted to do, but never had any time or energy to spend on it.
You're so complicated. We've got Germany, we've got immersion school, we've got Atlanta, we've got Portuguese, we've got living in Brazil, we've got international genres. You were pursuing, you know, real heavy-duty college stuff, and you gave it all up for sitting in a car talking about music.
I was definitively musical. I was, I mean, from for as long as I can remember, I've been definitively musical in different ways, like whether it was musical theater or writing folk songs or then writing bossa nova songs. But at Brown, I was really, my head was, well, my head was all over the place, but I was studying.
It's college, you're allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. My senior year, I literally spent the majority of the time in the library writing my thesis.
Okay, come on, here we go. What was the thesis?
Oh, I wonder if I can even remember the title.
Well, you certainly know what it was about.
Yeah, it was about conflict resolution and peace building.
Heavy stuff. The other friends that we have in common, the Knox. Here are two guys who pretty much were completely in the box and were remixing, and then suddenly they're artists, right? And that's the interesting thing. This is the path I want to start going down. I'm going to do it in a pile of ways. Electronic, genres, in the box, and perception of reality about, quote, electronic music. Because I'm listening to the EP on the way here, and I've heard it multiple times, but I have it cranked, and I'm like, this is not electronic music. It is music that obviously utilizes beats. It manipulates vocals. It does all that. But this is not EDM.
Well, the way the Knox came into the picture was I was in my senior year at Brown. I had 1 year left of school where I was not playing basketball, and I was DJing a lot. I taught myself how to DJ the summer before, literally right after the doctor said, like the story I was just telling you, when that day maybe, I went and like spent my savings on a DJ equipment. I was DJing my senior year, and I was opening for a band called the Knox, or a DJ group called the Knox, right, from New York. And I knew their name because of a lot of their remixes and their bloggy everything, and their song Dancing with the DJ. And so I went to this concert, and I had a ton of fun with these guys who were named Ben and J-Pat, and B-Rock and J-Pat, whatever. And that night, instantly, they became really, really close friends. And a month later, we went to Miami Music Week together with a group of my friends from college and all stayed in a house together, and they brought me around to all their gigs. And I never even told them I made music. We were just friends, and we just had a good time. And then at the end of the year, right about when we were graduating, I was in New York, and Ben had me by the studio, Heavy Rock, which soon became our studio also, or, you know, we work there. And Sophie and I had been working on some stuff at school, and as an afterthought, I showed him, and Ben thought it had great potential and said, you should pursue this as a real career. And that was enough I needed. And so I, you know, the next day called Sophie, and she had maybe just had her last exam or something, and I convinced her not to move to Brazil and to teach yoga and music and to, you know, chase this sort of silly, crazy dream that doesn't seem like a reality. And I convinced her.
From bossa nova to poetry to the things that you were used to, and then bringing that over to this, tell me what that was like. And was it awkward? Was it interesting? You know, were you in that world at all before?
Yeah, I mean, Tucker always makes fun of me because there's so many gaps in my knowledge of pop music.
And pop culture in general.
Yeah, I mean, I just never paid attention. I mean, or not never, but I was in communities where that just wasn't really
present. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know some pop music from adolescence, but anyway, I spent a lot of time in college studying poetry and then got really into Brazilian. I just love the way that it sounds. And I moved to Brazil for 6 months and studied the guitar and studied the language. And I just really love the manner in which a lot of bossa nova singers in particular sing. It's really laid back and sensual, and the melodies are kind of complicated. And the rhythms are really complicated, but it sounds so effortless. And so I was writing bossa nova music, and yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like a stretch at all, really, to implement or continue creating, but in this container, in this way, it just felt really natural and obvious, even though it was bizarre. Like, it just, you know, we needed words and we needed some other percussive part, and I was already working with Chacal, the poet, so it just seemed like an obvious thing to do. And now people are like, what the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, and that's a great segue to books and watermelons. And how do you kind of vet all of these interesting things that make sounds? And I understand that you tend to experiment kind of live to a great extent.
I mean, we really just take things from everywhere, all parts of life, and when we think something might be fun, we try it. I mean, the books are, it's not the actual sound that they make when I hit them, but anything that can cause vibrations from hitting it can trigger a contact microphone, which then you can turn the analog signal into a MIDI signal, and then it can trigger any sound you want. It's a little techie, sorry.
So,
I mean, we wanted to, you know, do something different and a little out there and visual. We wanted to visually perform our music rather than just play it, like, with instruments like we've seen before. And we wanted to sort of physically perform the songs rather than just playing it. 'Cause you can
it's a big experiment, isn't it?
Life's a big experiment. We're just trying to have fun.
You don't have anything out yet, and you've got a sync. You put it on SoundCloud. Did you just get a call from a music supervisor saying, hi, you know, I really like that track, and we want to pay you for it?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what happened.
And so that phone call happens, and then you go, okay, someone's playing a joke on us.
Like, almost. We were kind of just like, oh. So, well, maybe we're gullible, but I guess we believed it. But then we realized, okay, this could be real. We could make a career out of this. This is real. We might have done something right here. So then we, you know, started building our team and realized we needed to get a lawyer to help us with that, and, you know, started looking for managers. And
but label. Is there a label?
Well, in the United States,
here we go. Yes.
We are essentially self-released, although but we put, like, Heavy Rock has helped us a lot, so we have an incredible management team who is basically also our label.
Right. In the U.S.
Yeah.
And then overseas, where things are important too.
Yeah, Sony, and yeah, a bunch of the different labels under Sony all over the world.
Grimes, M83, Todd Rundgren. What an interesting, so one way to defy genres is to open up for people that no one would suspect, although I think Todd makes a lot of sense.
We didn't really know him well, to be honest, and we don't. No, I mean, what, know him right personally, but even his music, we didn't know that well, and it's pretty cool that someone like him, who's, you know, apparently an unbelievable guitarist, an unbelievable musician, and a legend, would want us to open for him. I mean, it's crazy. And I wouldn't have guessed it necessarily. Yeah, it's really cool that he would want us to open for him. It's a fun thing for us, and hopefully fun for him and people at the show tomorrow.
And I'd say one thing that every single artist that we've opened for and met has in common is just this sense of inclusiveness and real joy. I mean, we've been so lucky to meet all these people and just felt really embraced by them and their crowds. I mean, it's just been amazing across all genres and age groups. And sometimes we pause and we, you know, think both, wow, how grateful we are that we get to be doing this every day. And also we pause and we think, wow, how far we have to go to really become the best performers and artists that we want to be?
What I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside is the bread, and then songs by anybody else in between. So I can play anything. So what two songs do you want of yours on the outside? Let's start there.
I love them all. What would you want?
You want me to pick them?
Yeah.